Hey there. Did you know that with a bachelor's degree, on average, you could make almost twice as much over a lifetime than a person with just a high school diploma?
It's true. According to the 2012 U.S. Census Bureau, college grads with a bachelor's degree make almost twice as much as high school grads. Now, going back to school is easier than ever at Independence University. Log on and complete coursework from the park or the beach or even your couch watching the kids. And Independence University gives you the tools, a free tablet and laptop for undergrad students to use and keep when they graduate. That's right. Get a laptop so you can go to college from anywhere. Take the first step to a new career in business, information technology, healthcare, or graphic arts. Call to find the online degree program that's right for you, and you could be on your way to increasing your earning potential.
888-904-1986. 888-904-1986. That's 888-904-1986.
You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio, broadcast from the law office of Cooley. This is your host, Herb Cohn, with my co-hosts, Chelsea Schott and William Tidwell Cressa, Colleen Gillis Cooley, Eamon Bassam, ESB Advertising. We've got a great lineup of guests for you on our show today, including Ron Rubin, CEO and Managing Partner of Bridgewater Wealth and Financial Management, Dr. Robert Hahn, President, Government Solutions Retech, Brett Rugo, President of Rugo Stone, and Chris Coleman, CEO of Looking Glass. Let's get to know Ron Rubin, CEO and Managing Partner of Bridgewater Wealth and Financial Management. First, Ron, what is Bridgewater Wealth and Financial Management? What are you guys doing?
Bridgewater Wealth and Financial Management provides wealth management services, investment, financial planning, family office, and tax to ultra-high net worth and high net worth individuals.
How large or how small is the organization? How large or how small is the organization?
We're about 40 people.
And what kind of dollars are you managing? What kind of money are you managing?
We manage $1 billion.
Whoa, this is all nice. Wow, this is a significant business. How did you get a job with this company?
I started it in 1987.
You started this business. Wow. So where are you from originally?
I grew up in the Maryland suburbs.
How many brothers and sisters?
One brother, one half sister.
So you're the oldest or the youngest?
I am the oldest.
So you have a brother, half sister. What was going on in your childhood? What happened there?
Well, when I was 9 years old, my mom passed away.
And you were 9 years old and you were the oldest. What did that do to the family dynamic when your mom passed away?
Well, it changed things forever and started me on a journey.
What do you mean? What do you mean it started you on a journey? What are you talking about?
Well, I guess, you know, for me, sort of that safety I had as a child changed. And, you know, I think it's really, I've been on this journey for my life trying to really fill a hole and
You mentioned earlier in the green room that you felt lost and you didn't feel safe. And you were looking for that safe. What were you looking for? What were you looking to create? What were you looking for?
You know, I was just looking for a place where I could have connections and be with people. Mm-hmm. And
where'd you go to school? You mentioned that when you were going to school in high school, there was something about a bookkeeping class that turned you on. What was that all about?
Right. So I accidentally signed up for a bookkeeping class when I was at Winston Churchill High School.
And you really enjoyed that, you mentioned.
It just came real easy.
How about in college? You mentioned you had an accounting class that you really enjoyed, and you really just naturally got a sense of it?
Right. So I was a business major. I was told I was to be a lawyer.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, so I became a business major and in accounting. It just having that bookkeeping in high school.
So what's interesting to me is you really had a natural proclivity toward bookkeeping and to accounting, to numbers. But earlier you mentioned when we were talking that you the way you conduct your firm is a little bit different. You believe in conscious leadership. What's that about?
So conscious leadership is a culture that has evolved at Bridgewater where, you know, I guess the best example I could give is, you know, we try to build a place where we're present with each other and where we look at things and try to experience them from what we call above the line. We want to be open, curious, and wanting to learn with each other.
So it sounds to me like you're really creating a healthy family at work.
Yeah, well, it grew out of an unhealthy family, you know. Uh-huh. So you're on a journey, and you try to just what do I really want here? What wants to happen?
It sounds to me like what you wanted for yourself, you brought into the business, and you're also providing that for your clients. If you think about it, a place to be safe, security, you're dealing with their money.
That's exactly right. You know, it's something that work I began doing in my own life personally. You know, we talked about mindfulness and presence and just kind of transforming the way maybe you've been.
There's a woman sitting next to you. Her name is Lisa Poff. I think Lisa, how long have you been with the organization? How long have you worked with them? Come up close to that microphone.
I've been with Bridgewater about just a little over a year.
What's different about this organization?
This organization is a caring organization. It's great to walk into work every day and really love that you're coming to work, that you have opportunity, that you have not only a seat at the table, but a voice at the table.
So Ron's created a special environment there.
He really has.
Colleen, what are you thinking?
How does a conscious leadership transform how your clients experience you and you experience your clients?
So how we experience our clients and how our clients experience us. You know, for us, you know, it's easy to look at somebody's numbers and what they want to do with their money, but I think the approach that our team takes with their clients is they first want to know what's keeping somebody up at night. What are the fears going on there? And it becomes very personal for us. It's not just about an asset allocation or an investment plan or a tax projection.
It sounds very much like you're giving to your clients what you were seeking when your mom passed, that safety, that security, that sense of you have a home, you are going to be okay with all of their financial planning, and that it's in some ways come full circle. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think that's a great connection that you made there. And it's also, you know, looking at the reality of it. You know, a lot of people live in this world where they want to feel safe, but they're really not. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they may need to make some changes in their life.
William, what do you got?
Yeah, Ron, you talk about your clients' fears and what keeps them up at night. What are your fears? What keeps you up at night?
Probably things very similar to my clients, and that's my retirement planning, so much so that I became a client of our firm about a year ago, kind of the typical shoemaker's kid that walks around with holes in his shoes. And, you know, you work hard, you make money, and it's like, okay, is everything going to really be okay here when, you know, I go into the next phase?
Mm-hmm. What's the best part of your job?
The best part of my job is just relating to our team and our clients and building something. I think building something's been a big theme for me.
What's that mean? What do you mean talking about build? Building means in terms of a lot of money, right?
Well, no, it's really constructing something you want. And, you know, part of that within Bridgewater is growth. I mean, you know, we're in a business. You do want to grow. But it's doing it in a very thoughtful way, and making sure that, you know, what you're building, that the people you have there are committed to the same things you are.
In terms of conscious leadership and mindfulness, it sounds to me like you're very present on a day-to-day basis with your clients, what your business is doing. When you think to the future for what the legacy is that Bridgewater will leave and what you will leave with regard to Bridgewater, what do you think that might be?
So I think it's really a matter of our team. You know, we look at our business. There are three ways people can be in our business. They can have a practice, they can be in business, or they can have an enterprise. And within an enterprise, it's just something that's going to outlive me and my partners. And that's what we're really trying to create. And knowing things are not always the same. You know, you need to evolve. And you know, just we're very focused on that.
Chelsea?
You mentioned earlier you go through personality assessments and also that your son was one of the employees that works at your company. What would you say you look for with your culture and with your employees to build the foundation that you have for your company?
So very early on when we talked to potential team members, we talk about this work we do with our culture. We talk about conscious leadership. There's a whole group in the office, doesn't even involve me, that goes and meditates at 2:00 every day. And, you know, we say, hey, this is how we roll. It's okay if you're if you're not rolling that way, but this is how we're doing it. So, and the personality test you brought up, so we use the Enneagram, and there is no good or bad. There just is. There's 9 Enneagram types, and it's really just understanding what's driving, you know, each personality type, because it really helps how you want to deal with them, understanding them. So you
really enjoy tuning in to people. You really enjoy getting to know people, you know, getting the sense of who they are and what's really going on with them, huh?
Yes, uh-huh. Yes.
So you're not doing a financial plan with them on the surface. You're really getting to know your clients.
Yeah, I think...
Are you getting to know, like, their fears and who's getting married and what's going on? I mean, you're getting to know the depth of their lives.
Yeah, it's important. You really... You need to understand that in order to really advise
Well, you're really
them.
Built for your job. Yeah, you just said it. You know, you're built to to advise them. You really got to care about them. And it sounds like, boy, you implicitly do. You know, if everybody's meditating at 2 o'clock in your office, it's like, I guess you really believe it's good to make that investment in their time and to have that as part of the culture so that we're really caring about our clients and we're really tuning in to our clients.
Yeah, and we, you know, every other month, 6 times a year, we go off-site for one day and actually half split up. Half the firm meets in the morning, half the firm meets in the afternoon. We're together for lunch, but it's time where we're just out of the office. We're getting into connection. We're practicing.
Are you guys meditating also?
There's a little meditation involved.
Yeah, I figured that. What's the website address? What's the website address of this organization called Bridgewater Wealth and Financial Management? Website address?
Bridgewaterwealth.com.
Let me have that one more time.
Bridgewaterwealth.com.
We've been speaking with Ron Rubin, CEO and Managing Partner, Bridgewater Wealth and Financial Management, here on Executive Leaders Radio with my co-host Chelsea Schott and William Tidwell from Cressa. Colleen Gillis Cooley, Eamon Bassam, ESB Advertising, and this is Herb Cohen. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. It's executiveleadersradio.com to learn more about our executive leaders. We'll be back in a moment right after this break. And your name is?
My name is Lisa Poff.
And Lisa, what organization are you with?
I'm with Bridgewater Wealth and Financial Management.
And you mentioned that you're the director of what do you do there?
Marketing and Communications.
And your job, you say one of the things you really enjoyed about your job is you like working with really smart people and helping communicate some special initiatives. And you're doing something for women. What was that all about?
We are. So I have been with this firm a little over a year. And one of the main reasons that I came to work with the firm was because they were starting a women's financial initiative. Women are underserved in the financial services industry. And this firm has many women who are financial advisors, investment managers, tax professionals, and that's very uncommon. And they wanted to start a women's financial initiative to be able to help women really engage with their finances and take control of their finances. And that was really the primary reason I came to work for this firm.
And also you mentioned you enjoy not only this women's initiative, but also something about diversity. What was that about?
Yes. So this firm is 30 years old. And so we have employees that have been with Ron Rubin and Bridgewater for 30 years. And we also have people who are young millennials that we have in the firm. And I love it because we give opportunity to really everybody at the firm. There have been people that have been here who have started out in one position and have grown and developed and become directors in other positions. And it's great because the employees not only have they have real responsibility, regardless of their age.
What's the website address for Bridgewater Wealth and Financial Management?
It's bridgewaterwealth.com.
Let me have that one more time.
Can I make a plug for Her Wealth? bridgewaterwealth.com/herwealth.
Excellent. Your name again is?
Lisa Poff.
And you're the director of which title there?
Director of Marketing and Communications.
This has been your Business Spotlight.
Nice. You did.
Are you married? Do you and your husband both have term life insurance? If you both don't, you should. You have a lot to protect. Call now, get a free quote for your husband, and while you're at it, get a quote for yourself too. Because you both need term life insurance. Call now. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658. Rates are at all-time lows. We'll shop over 30 top-rated companies to get you the best possible rates. Term life insurance, it's the perfect way to protect the quality of your family's lifestyle. You and your husband both need term life insurance, so call now for a free quote for the both of you. 800-915-9658, 800-915-9658, 800-915-9658.
Do you have an old car sitting in your driveway? How would you like to learn a hassle-free way to get rid of it, help kids in need, and get a great tax donation in the process? It's real easy. One simple free call to our car donation hotline is all it takes. Call the Neshama Foundation at 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. We'll come pick your car up for free and give you a tax donation for the full value of the car, running or not. The value of your unwanted car will go to help kids in need. It's fast and easy. Just call us and your car will be gone and on its way to helping children in 48 hours. And you get a nice tax deduction. Call the Neshama Foundation now to get rid of your car, help kids, and get a tax write-off.
Call 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. That's 800-721-6723.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohn. We'd like to introduce Dr. Robert Hahn, President, Government Solutions, ReTech. Dr. Hahn, what is ReTech? What are you guys doing?
ReTech is a mid-sized subsidiary of LexisNexis. We provide services to the federal government, to intellectual property organizations and law firms, and to pharmaceutical companies.
How large or how small is this organization?
We're a mid-sized company, about 1,000 employees.
All righty. And where are you from originally?
I grew up in Rochester, New York.
How many brothers and sisters?
I have one older sister and two younger brothers.
So you're the second of four. And what did that do to you, being the second of four?
Well, rather than being the second, I was actually the first. I was the oldest son. Mm-hmm. So I had responsibilities that normally roll to the oldest son in situations where, in my case, my father was frequently absent for work.
Good. Tell us more about this. And were these responsibilities that he told you to do, or you just sort of assumed?
These were things that I just picked up. Again, my dad worked at Kodak for 30 years during the heyday, which meant they were running three shifts, 365 days a year. And so he frequently got the second and third shift, which meant, again, I grew up in Rochester, New York on Lake Ontario in the snow belt. So there was a lot of snow shoveling, a lot of leaf raking, and a lot of chasing after my brothers who seemed to always get lost in the woods behind our house.
So you took those responsibilities. What kind of sports did you play as a kid?
Younger years, I played baseball, basketball, was part of scouts, and then
what
played
was the,
football.
What was the common role on the teams? What was the common effect you had on those teams?
I was one of those guys that had not as much talent as some of the star players. So my role was basically to show up and play where the coach needed me to play.
How's that parallel your business career? What's that have to do with your business career?
Well, I mean, a couple of things. One, it made me very comfortable with ambiguity. Because I would show up and never quite know if I was going to be at third base, right field, or put on the catcher gear.
Wow. So you're comfortable playing a wide variety of roles. Does that parallel your role, your business career?
Very much so. I did a career in the Army before I started working in the government services contracting organizations and have held a wide range of staff positions and P&L responsibilities and always look for folks for my team who are comfortable with a breadth of responsibility.
What did your mom do for a living?
My mom was a homemaker when we were growing up, and then as we got older, she went to work in our high school cafeteria.
What'd you get from mom that you bring every day to this 600-person or this 1,000-person organization that you're running?
Well, one of it is that you have to show up every day and do your part. Again, my dad was frequently absent at work during the afternoons and evenings when we were around, and so mom had to carry the load.
And so mom taught you about supporting everybody.
Very much so. Again, we were a very tight family and had dinner together every night. And as a result, we, again, became very close and continue to support each other.
Colleen?
You spoke in the green room about your older sister. And you told, I thought, a really endearing story about dinner at the dinner table conversation. Can you talk a little bit about that, about your efforts with regard to your sister?
Sure. Again, this was my older sister, and with one girl and three boys, the conversation around the dinner table inevitably went to sports. My mother loved sports, so she was fully engaged in it. And unfortunately, it left my sister out of the conversation. So, you know, we tried a couple of different things to get her in, and ultimately found out that she had a strong musical talent and that she played in a marching band. So, you know, since all big sports programs have marching bands, at least big football programs, all of a sudden we had something common that we could talk about and share, and we could talk about the marching band at the football game while we were talking about the football game.
Well, what's that have to do with building this 600 to 1,000 person company, though? What's that thing with your sister have to do with that?
Sure. That's, again, we are a very collaborative company, and I'm very supportive of teams that have a lot of diversity in them. Usually, however, there's a very strong player, or there'll be an organizational culture that'll emerge in a team that leaves one or more folks out. So one of the things we really emphasize with our teams and our team leaders is to find a way to get everybody involved and engaged in the conversation, because a lot of times folks don't think they're the same as everybody else. And while they have a strong contribution, unless you pull it out of them, the team doesn't get to benefit from it.
William?
Yeah, Dr. Hahn, there's a lot of education behind that title. You mentioned that your father did shift work for a number of years for one company. Did that affect your desire for education?
My dad was a high school graduate who served 2 years during the Korean War and then went to work for Kodak. And again, that was his job for the rest of his life. My parents were always very supportive of education. They made some sacrifices so we could go to parochial schools when we were growing up.
What kind of sacrifices? What are you talking about?
You know, again, Dad made a decent living, but we weren't rich, so there were a lot of things that my parents...
You guys didn't have the nicest car, huh?
We did not have the nicest car.
You didn't go to the fanciest restaurants, did you?
We usually ate at home.
And not all the kids had their own bedroom and bathroom, huh?
I shared a room with my two brothers.
So what'd that do to you?
Again, it made me kind of very comfortable in a group environment and, you know, respectful of the other people around you, and to make sure that
Wait a minute. I read the newspapers. It says here you're the president, Government Solutions, or Retech, which is 600 people or 1,000 people. It's a large organization. Don't you have the fanciest car? Don't you want to brag to everybody and have the parking space right out front?
No, actually not. I mean,
why
we're a
not?
Company that
is very focused
on employees. Yeah, but again, I'm the guy that shows up. I was, wasn't the most talented baseball player. I, played lacrosse on the third string.
Wait a minute. Are you telling me you think there's people in the company that are smarter than you? Well, maybe I shouldn't be saying that on the air.
There are a lot of people in the company that are smarter than me. And again, my contribution is to make sure that the smart people can make their contribution to the company in a way that moves us all forward and we're all successful.
So you think your job is to help identify the others?
It's to help them have the resources they need and the time they need and the support they need to be successful.
Are your mom and dad aware of what you're up to nowadays?
My dad passed in 2013, but yes, he was very proud of what we did, and my parents were frequently visitors to us and wherever we were.
Had he ever been to your office?
That's a good question.
Mm-hmm. How do you think he felt?
I think again, my dad was very proud of us. And
why? Why was he proud of you?
Because we'd been able to be successful and provide for our families.
What's that look like, successful? What's that mean? You made a lot of money?
We made enough money to provide for a good life to help send my kids to school.
How do you define success?
Oh, it's that people in the organization or in your family group are able to achieve the things that matter to them.
No. I asked you how you define success.
It's that everybody around me is successful, too.
Really? Where'd that come from?
It came from our family days when, we had to make sure that, again, each of the members of the family and my mother and everybody's needs were taken care of.
And how many people work for you?
Somewhere between 600 and 1,000.
And you really feel that way, huh?
We do. I mean, we're a company. My first week on the job at Reed Tech, we celebrated the 35th work anniversary of two of our employees, and they were lamenting the fact that they were not the longest serving employees.
And you really enjoy this, huh? I thought I'd read the newspapers. I wasn't expecting this. What's the website address of this organization?
Sure. Our website address is reedtech.com.
Let me have that one more time.
readtech.com.
We've been speaking with Dr. Robert Hahn, President of Government Solutions at ReadTech, here on Executive Leaders Radio. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. We'll be back in a moment right after this break.
Here's George Foreman with InventHelp.
Hi, I'm George Foreman. Do you have an idea for a new product or invention? People ask me all the time, George, how do I get my idea in front of companies? How do I get a patent? What do I do next? Do you have the same questions? I'll tell you like I'll tell them all. Call my friends at InventHelp.
Call InventHelp today for free information. InventHelp has been helping inventors for more than 30 years and has sales offices nationwide. InventHelp can submit your invention to companies who are interested in receiving new ideas. If you have an idea and want to try to patent it and submit it to companies, you should call InventHelp today for free information.
Listen, I can't guarantee a company will be interested in your idea, but I believe every inventor deserves the opportunity to step into the ring and take their best shot. Put InventHelp in your corner.
To get your free inventor's information, call 1-800-351-1453. That's 1-800-351-1453. Again, 1-800-351-1453.
Hi, I'm Viola Davis. Did you know that 1 in 5 kids in America struggle with hunger? Growing up, I was one of those kids. But we can solve this. When we make breakfast happen for kids in our neighborhood, we have the power to end childhood hunger, create bigger, brighter school days, and healthier minds and bodies. Go to hungeris.org and lend your time or your voice.
We're hungry for more.
A message from the Albertsons Companies Foundation and the Entertainment Industry Foundation.
BizTalk Radio is now available on Amazon Echo. Just add the BizTalk Radio skills, then ask Alexa for the latest business news. You'll instantly get live, relevant information from the best business source, BizTalk Radio. Alexa, open BizTalk Market Tips.
Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. That's 800-430-7570.
National Funding Group has just released $100 million in easy access small business funding to businesses that gross at least $100,000 a year. You can have fast access up to $500,000 in new business capital in as little as 48 hours. Think about the ways you could grow your business if you had up to $500,000 cash infusion. Call a NFG funding expert now. The process is easy. It only takes about 5 minutes. Then our management-owned lending team looks at your application for a fast approval. You can get 100% funded in about 2 days. If you need up to $500,000 in working capital to run your business and you gross at least $100,000 a year, call NFG and apply today. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. That's 800-296-1564.
If you're suffering from hearing loss, stay tuned for a special offer from the makers of Listen Clear, a revolutionary hearing aid breakthrough designed by top audio engineers to fit your ear almost invisibly. Right now, you can try Listen Clear hearing aids absolutely free for 45 days. You can also qualify for free shipping and free batteries for life. Listen Clear hearing aids are so lightweight and comfortable, you can wear them all day long. They're practically invisible too, so others won't even notice you're wearing them. And the best part is, you'll be able to hear almost everything, everywhere. So do something about your hearing loss. Call Listen Clear now to get started with your 45-day risk-free hearing aid trial. This special offer won't be available for long, so call Listen Clear now.
800-716-4650. 800-716-4650. 800-716-4650. We're here 24 hours a day to help. That's 800-716-4650.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. We'd like to introduce Brett Rugo, president of Rugo Stone. Brett, what is Rugo Stone? What are you guys doing?
Rugo Stone is a contractor and fabricator and installer of very elegant and complicated stone facades, lobbies that are featured in commercial office buildings, courthouses, war memorials, and churches.
Wow. How old is this company?
It's 21 years.
Uh-huh. And how'd you get a job with it?
Well, I started the company.
You started the company. Where are you from originally?
I was born in a little town called Barrie, Vermont.
Uh-huh. How young were you when you knew you wanted to be in the stone business?
Probably 6 or 7 years old.
And tell us a little bit about who influenced that, and tell us a little bit more about that experience.
Well, my father's father was an ornamental stone carver whose profession was carving stone for headstones in cemeteries all over the country. And I just was enamored with the medium of stone and the ability to shape it in three dimensions, and I love the feel of tools in my hands.
You remember this at 6 years old, 7 years old?
Yeah, I just had a real interesting thing. My dad was a very hands-on guy, but he wasn't in the stone business. He was a licensed electrician, plumber, engineer. So he did a lot of those type of things. But I just had a real appreciation for stone like his father did.
Uh-huh. What kind of sports did you play as a kid?
I was a football player, a hockey player, and a little bit of baseball.
Uh-huh. What positions did you play?
I played linebacker, fullback, and then in hockey I played center, wing, sometimes defense.
So what's that tell us about your personality?
Well, I'm not afraid of a little bit of contact. I have a kind of an aggressive trait that's controlled. I'm very competitive. Mm-hmm. I don't like to lose, but I can accept defeat.
What's that have to do with building a successful business?
Well, working within the construction industry is very, very difficult. There's a lot of pressure from top down for constantly reducing price yet increasing service. And the requirement for resiliency is not for the average person.
Mm-hmm. Colleen, what question you got? What do you think?
We talked a little bit about the sports, and you talk about being a middle linebacker. You talk about playing hockey. What comes to mind is brick house and strong and solid, just like the stone business. But you talked a little bit in the green room about being involved in martial arts. And what also comes to mind in talking to you now and in the green room is this sense of steady, this sense of just reliable, and you just talked about resiliency. Can you talk a little bit about how martial arts has shaped you in your day-to-day business today?
Sure. Martial arts is a steadying force. It's a meditative force. It teaches you self-restraint, patience, and you need all those attributes today in business because, you know, it's a confrontational business that one could easily allow themselves to get escalated into, and that's not prudent. And so martial arts was a good complement in what I'll call the maturation of a business person from being 30 years old to your early 50s, and how you're able to handle and deal with stresses today, 21 years later, is, you know, 180 degrees different than it was 20 years ago.
Wait a second. Earlier we were talking about, you know, conscious leadership and meditation and Zen and so on and so forth. I hear another form of that coming through right now. Am I correct about that?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, when we start a martial arts session, I do meditative forms that originally come from the founder of Buddhism. And there's a meditative period at the onset for about a minute and a meditative period at the end as part of the one-hour-long workout.
But what's that have to do with business?
Well, it doesn't have a direct correlation other than it molds your personality to deal with the ups and downs that are going to come at you in all aspects of being a business owner, whether it's personnel, clients, suppliers. You know, I work with 22 different countries all over the world, so I have a real international aspect, and you have to deal with a lot of different personality types.
Huh. You seem very responsive as opposed to reactive, if I can put, you know, that meditative aspect into what you're talking about. You seem steady and being able to consider the options as opposed to just reacting in a moment out of you know, just the heat of the moment.
The best decisions are made after a contemplative period and after you analyze the data in the situation. Reacting to negative news with emotion is just not a useful tool any longer.
Mm-hmm. Who's got the next question here? Chelsea?
You mentioned earlier that you're the oldest of three to two sisters. Would you say there's any parallels from being a mentor and leader to your younger sisters that you use in your business now?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a rather paternal type person, and I've always believed in taking care of employees. In fact, I've probably been guilty at times of putting employees and the company ahead of me and myself, because I really care about them, and I care about their allegiance to the company and the quality of their life with their families. So I think a successful company is dependent upon long-term employees that are really dedicated to the mission of the company. The only way to keep employees dedicated is to dedicate yourself to their success as well.
Well, when you say you dedicate yourself to your team's success, what are you talking about? What do you mean?
Well, you know, I'm the kind of kid that never missed a day of school. I never missed a day of work. I work Saturdays, Sundays. I'll work through the night if I have to for a proposal to hold my end up. You know, my primary goal, my primary function within the business is business development, and that's a very up-and-down, non-scheduled activity where you have to be extremely responsive to people's needs. And if I let them down by not doing what I need to do, we're not going to have food on the table. So,
mm-hmm. And you talked about being dedicated. You told a story in the green room about your paper route and how you were different than other kids at 12. Can you tell a little bit more about that story now?
Yeah, I was a paper boy when we lived in upstate New York in a very cold environment where you had to sludge through heavy, deep snow. And, you know, I had an 8-story building that had a lot of senior citizens on it. And I always remember calling on those senior citizens. Many of them were immigrants from Europe and older folks, and they were very lonely, didn't have a lot of family, and I always took great pride in sitting down with them and hearing about their lives and their lessons. And some were great, some were kind
of... Wait.
Tough.
How old were you?
I was probably 11 or 12 years old.
And you were the paper boy?
Yes.
You weren't just dumping the papers and running away?
No.
What were you doing?
Sometimes they would have me in, and they, you know, there was one old lady, I think she was from Italy, and she would have a cookie and milk for me. There was another old Irishman who used to have me come in and play checkers with him. And
what did you learn from that experience that you used in building this Rugo Stone, this stone business that has to do with being a paper boy and having these older folks invite you in for cookies and milk?
Well, compassion for people. Attention to listen to the seniors in our society. I think that's something society has overlooked in the American culture, and that is the respect for experience and wisdom that comes with many years. And I think that's something we all need to focus on a lot more. In terms of being a paper boy, you know, it's a fun little job when you're a kid because you have to manage the money for collection, and then you have the responsibility to pay the newspaper company. And then, of course, your take is the tips, and the tips come about because you did a good job.
What I keep hearing is that you have the solid business, solid man, and he takes this rock and he carves it into something beautiful and softer, and just like you've mm-hmm. done in your business and you've done in life, steadiness, dedication, never missing a day of school, never missing a day at work, and yet you're committed to your people, you're committed to your customers and your clients.
That's true.
It's mm-hmm. a really beautiful marriage of hard and soft and compassion and strength.
Yeah, well, there's a nice little book that I love. It's a story of the granite industry in Vermont, and the title of the book is Men Against Stone, and it's a picture of an old-timer holding pneumatic tools that were, you know, without industrial diamond and without the tools that we have today, and it's true. It's a fight to produce the stone, but there also has to be compassion for the stone because as strong as it is, it's fragile when you're trying to create artistic things. So I think my management style is very suitable for that.
Bert, are you more like your mom or dad?
You know, I think as time's gone on in life, probably a little more like my mom.
What do you mean?
She's really honest. She's got a lot of integrity. She's a super hard worker. She never asks for anything from anyone else. She's very compassionate.
Mm-hmm. And how about earlier in life? You were more like your dad? What
do you mean? More like my dad. I wanted to be as good a football player as he was. You know, he had a lot of great attributes, and I aspired to repeat those.
What do you mean?
Well, he was one of those... he's not a type A personality, but he's sort of a type B. And he had great skills. He was an Air Force pilot in his early Air Force career. He was a civil engineer. He had a plumber's license, an electrician's license. He was a land surveyor. He staked out most of the highway system in the state of Vermont. He had a lot of great intellectual skills like that. And he was also just a very forthright guy, very good with his hands. He taught me how to work with tools at a very, very young age, which was helpful.
So you're another one. It doesn't sound like, you know, your style is not to stand up front and tell everybody how great you are. That's just not who you are.
No.
Do you go to your teammates when somebody's getting married or having a party or a birthday or a christening. Do you get invited to those things?
I do, yeah. Recently, one of our key employees invited me to the dual Eagle Scout ceremony for both of his sons, and he invited my 12-year-old to serve in the Honor Guard. And that was a really nice gesture to allow us to come to this basically family-only ceremony and to allow my younger son to see the older boys get their Eagle Scouts.
Why would you drag your son into that?
Achieving an Eagle Scout is just a really great accomplishment. If you've done it right, you're in a really legitimate troop, which is, you know, 98% of all the troops that are out there. You're producing a young man with some just great attributes.
You're all about role models, aren't you?
Absolutely.
What do you mean? Why are role models so important to you?
Well, you know, when you have a child, you're producing. It's your job to produce a quality.
What's the similarity between being a dad and being a CEO? Similarity.
A lot of similarities. Personnel issues and managing children are very similar to each other.
What's the website address for Rugo Stone?
It's rugostone.com.
rugostone.com. We've been speaking with Brett Rugo, president of Rugo Stone, here on Executive Leaders Radio with my co-hosts Chelsea Schott and William Tidwell Cressa, Colin Gillis Cooley, and Iman Bassam, ESP Advertising. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, learn more about our executive leaders. Back in a moment, right after this business spotlight. And your name and organization is?
Lisa Poff, and I'm with Bridgewater Wealth and Financial Management.
And Lisa, do you ever interface with clients or prospective clients of the firm?
I do. Prospective clients will often call, and I speak with them directly.
And when you speak to these prospective clients, what are their concerns?
You know, many times people have not really paid attention to their finances. You know, these are people who are successful people, but they haven't really taken the time to plan for retirement or plan for any other financial events in their lives. And they're coming to the realization that they don't have the time or expertise to do it. And they're looking for somebody to really help them, you know, with that, to make sure that they're, you know, feeling safe and secure.
So when you talk to them, like, what's the next step? Do you try to bring them into the office? What do you do?
Well, really, you want to get to know what it is that they're, what are their concerns? You know, what is it that they are really looking for? You know, some people want to have somebody help to manage their investments. Other people want to have a more robust financial plan. It really depends upon what it is that they're looking for. We often have calls from women who are recently widowed or recently divorced, and you know, it's the first time they're really having to engage with their finances. Maybe they've been disconnected or they have delegated that responsibility. So we want to be able to, you know, really understand what it is that they're looking for and then provide that guidance to help them, you know, take control of their financial.
So you really enjoy those relationships, don't you? You enjoy developing relationships.
It is absolutely, it's absolutely relationship driven. Everybody is different. There is no one size fits all in this industry or this business.
Mm-hmm. What's the website address of the organization?
Bridgewaterwealth.com.
And there was something special for the women as well?
Yes, we have a women's initiative called Her Wealth, and that's bridgewaterwealth.com/herwealth.
And your name again is?
Lisa Poff.
And this has been your Business Spotlight.
Nice.
Are you ready to leave your corporate job behind and be your own boss? Have you ever dreamed of owning a business? Do you have $50,000 or more sitting around in a 401k? If you answered yes, it's time to invest in yourself by buying or starting a business or franchise. IRS code allows you to use money in a 401k to invest in a business with absolutely no penalties or taxes. At Guided Financial, we've helped more than 11,000 entrepreneurs invest $3 billion in retirement assets into the small businesses and franchises of their dreams. So if you've got $50,000 or more in a 401k and you're looking for a way to start a business, call Guided Financial now for free information and to learn more. Operators are standing by for your call. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. That's 800-570-6630.
Hi, I'm Joan London. If you're worried about your parent or loved one living alone, like I was, and you want reliable senior care information, then call A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service.
Finding an apartment that was on the courtyard with the view of the trees, the view of the ducks, the stream, the creek, all of that, that was what I needed.
You'll get free information on assisted living, Alzheimer's care, nursing homes, even important financial information. Here's the number.
To speak to a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-506-0320. That's 800-506-0320.
A Place for Mom is a free service, and you can trust them to help you. So if you're struggling to find reliable senior living information, there's A Place for Answers, A Place for Mom.
To speak to a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-506-0320. That's 800-506-0320.
How old are you? 25, 35, 50, or older? If you have pain, we can help. Do your knees hurt?
Ow!
Let me ask you again. Are your knees killing you?
Oh, yeah. Are they ever?
What about your back? When you bend over, does it feel like this? How about when you get out of bed in the morning? If you're like me, your knees and back feel like this.
Oh, that hurts.
I found a company called the Pain Relief Hotline. They specialize in ways to treat your knee, back, and neck pain without surgery or taking medications. The good news is if you have insurance, you may have little or no cost or out-of-pocket expense. I've used them. It works. Call the Pain Relief Hotline now for free information. 800-303-4607. 800-303-4607. Call now. 800-303-4607. That's 800-303-4607.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohn. We'd like to introduce Chris Coleman, CEO of Looking Glass. Chris, what is Looking Glass? What are you guys doing?
Yeah, Looking Glass is a cybersecurity company focused on operationalizing cyber threat intelligence for our customers.
How large or how small is this organization?
We're a 307-person organization with offices across the U.S. and international as well.
Uh-huh. When was it founded? What year was that?
The company was founded in 2009.
And when did you join the organization?
I came into the organization 2013, from some of the early round investors brought me in.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned that you grew up in a bunch of different places. You went to 5 or 10 different schools before you graduated high school. And why was that? Why'd you move around so much?
So my dad was in the aluminum business, and that business just took us to a lot of different places and gave me the opportunity to live in a lot of different states. And mm-hmm. along with that comes a lot of adapting and
So what'd you learn moving all those times that you use in business nowadays that helped you succeed in business?
I think that when you move to a new location, it's really important to sit back and observe before you take action. Otherwise, action taken hastily could result in, when you're a kid, it could result in punches, kicks, or other things. But that same type of observance and requirement to take things in before making decisions and calling out your social structures and things of that nature are important.
Well, what's that have to do? When you took over, as it says here, you're the CEO of Looking Glass. When you took over the organization, how did your experience as a kid moving help prepare you for being the CEO of Looking Glass?
Well, so I was the new kid on the block, right? The only difference is I was in charge, so I had to assess the company and the state that it was in. The talent that we had, and come up with a plan that was going to allow us to be successful moving forward.
Mm-hmm. We asked you a little bit in the green room about what you liked to do as a kid, and mm-hmm. do you remember what you told us?
Yeah, I said I daydreamed a lot as a kid. Yeah.
And you also played a particular type of game.
A lot of strategy games. Yeah.
And as I'm listening to you now and I think about the name of your company, Looking Glass, and I think about daydreaming and strategy games, how is that all playing together?
So we're in the cyber field, and it's a technology field, and it's an extremely dynamic, ever-changing field. So I think that with all business, strategy is critical, but especially in a business that changes on a daily basis. So I think that having a well-thought-out strategy that the company understands and that the company's behind is critical for us to be able to execute properly on our business plan.
But also flexible enough from a daydreaming perspective?
Flexibility is key when things change on a daily basis, as they do in our industry. So,
yeah, you put your finger on him because he went like this and gulped when you first asked the question. William, what question do you got?
Chris, I'm interested. You're in the cyber field. You're protecting companies and, frankly, our country. You'd mentioned in the green room that right out of high school you went into the Army. What was behind that?
I just wanted to serve. I have a deep appreciation for the country and serving, and I think it's a an important thing for us to do.
And you actually mentioned nothing's better than what? What were you talking about?
I was talking about having a mission. I was talking about having a mission and a purpose, right? And there's I personally believe that our military serves a very high purpose in the country, and I believe that all of our businesses serve a purpose. I like to think that the work that we're doing, not just for the companies that we're protecting, but also the governments and global aspects of what we're protecting, has a deep purpose.
What kind of sports did you play as a kid?
I played a lot of sports, but predominantly I was a hockey player growing up.
What was your role on the team?
I was a center, and I enjoyed that position. If you're familiar with hockey, center is one of the positions that has a defensive and offensive responsibility, and everybody likes to score goals, but sometimes you have to be responsible in your own zone, and I always enjoyed that responsibility of that position.
What's that have to do with your building this organization called Looking Glass, being the center of that team?
Yeah, it's a good question. It's the responsibility of leadership, and I'm a big fan of what, we've talked a lot about different leadership strategies throughout the show, and I'm a big fan of what is servant leadership, right? So as a leader in my company, I have to serve not just my board and my investors, but most importantly, I have to serve my customers and my people.
Gotcha. Eamon, you have a question there?
You were talking about your father's blue-collar job his whole life. What do you relate to more, to your father, or mom?
Yeah, so my dad was definitely in management, but we grew up in a mills or a blue-collar, unionized element. And I think that, my dad taught me what it was like to work on a mill, right? I learned to burn, I learned to weld. I think we poured 56 trucks of concrete in one day, right? And the value of that work and respecting the people that do it, but also, pauses you to think what else you want to do. And I think that having the balance of understanding what it takes to build something from the very rudimentary levels of concrete, steel, and sweat to what we do in the technology industry is simply just an innovation of where we are as a country.
Chelsea, what do you got?
Country.
You mentioned earlier you are the youngest of five, and your next sibling is 11 years older than you. Can you tell us a little bit about how the family dynamic growing up affected you and how you lead people and how you interact with other people today?
So 11 years separated me from my next sibling. I was the flu, and as my mother said. But at the end of the day, it's kind of like being the benefits of being the only child, but having the benefits of a whole four older siblings that would come in and out at different times of life, whether it be finishing high school or coming back from college breaks, or and looking at what they were doing as an adult. Or as when I was a child, looking forward to what they were doing in their adulthood lives was, always kind of put me on a path of immediately thinking about what I was going to be doing at a young age. And it's something that I think shaped how I view things. I'm very forward thinking, and I'm always trying to anticipate what I'm going to be doing, but also from a business perspective, what we're going to be doing from a business.
So you talked about the venture capitalist putting you in as CEO in 2013. Do they speak about how observant you are, how intuitive you are, and how important is that in what you do on a day-to-day basis?
The beauty is, you cannot replace intuition if you're good at it in your field. Right? Mm-hmm. So intuition is a almost irreplaceable mm-hmm. business trait. Mm-hmm. So whether my board and my venture capitalists appreciate that or not, I like to think venture capitalists.
They can listen to this.
What's the website address of the organization?
A website address is lookingglasscyber.com.
We've been speaking with Chris Coleman, CEO of Looking Glass, here on Executive Leaders Radio. We've had the opportunity to speak with Ron Rubin, CEO and Managing Partner, Bridgewater Wealth and Financial Management, Dr. Robert Hahn, President, Government Solutions, Retech, Brett Rugo, President of Rugo Stone, and most recently, Chris Coleman, CEO of Looking Glass. I'd like to thank my co-hosts, including Chelsea Schott and William Tidwell Cressa, Colleen Gillis Cooley, and Iman Bassam, ESB Advertising, for giving me a hand structuring the questions. Hope you're providing a listening audience an educational and entertaining show. Thank you for listening. Otherwise, we wouldn't have a radio show. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, learn more about our executive leaders, and have a nice day. Bye-bye.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com. Biz Talk Radio,